Bible, Romans chapter 15, and I want to bring the opening message of the conference, and then this will be my last time to speak now, and I want to start the conference off with the message about our theme, the message of Christ, the mission of our church, out of Romans chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 17. Actually, you know what we're going to do to save time this morning? Lynette's going to come sing as soon as I'm done praying here for the service. I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to get into the message as soon as we hear from her song. So let's stand together, please. And beginning in verse number 20 now, I was actually going to read verses 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. But for sake of time, let me read verse 20 for you. Notice the Bible says here, "Yea," Paul speaking, "so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." My dear Father, I thank you so much for the privilege to have this conference. I thank you for these precious families who've come our way. Lord, as we gather now for these days to meet and sing, fellowship, and listen to different presentations and messages, I pray that you'll work in our hearts. May we truly, Lord, take very serious the responsibility of getting the message of Christ to the world. Bless the song. May it prepare our hearts. And then, Lord, the message to follow. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Thank you, BC.
Thank you.
those folks come to hear Brian preach or Lynette sing, doesn't it? Amen. I probably have my feelings about that, but that's a blessing. Romans 15. Thank you, Lynette. Very good. She'll sing for us again tonight. Verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. The message of Christ, the mission of our church. A lot of boards out there on the wall. Somebody asked, how many missionaries do you just find? I don't know. All those that are on the wall, plus a couple of others we don't have plaques for. But our mission is not done. We're not done. God pity us if we ever rest on our laurels. If we're ever satisfied with our accomplishments rather than challenged by our commission. The message of Christ, the mission of our church, must stay that way. Let's pray together. Dear Father, help me, please, in Jesus' name, in the message today. A little behind time, but that's all right. I certainly need your power and help. Grace me, O Lord, our service with your presence in Christ's name. Amen. We were in this passage in Romans this past Wednesday evening. Verse 32 was the primary text for our message that night, where Paul said that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Paul wrote to these Christians who were in Rome, and he asked them to strive together with them in the realm of prayer. That word strive has caught my attention this week. I've looked at it in different places in the New Testament. He didn't ask them, brethren, pray for us. He said, strive together in prayer. Work at it. Sweat at it a little bit. Give it some attention. He said, pray for me that I might be delivered from the enemies of the gospel. And there were enemies of the gospel, and there are enemies of the gospel today. Pray for my deliverance. He said, pray for me as I deliver my gift to the poor saints in Jerusalem. He had been receiving offerings from all these Gentile churches for the poor saints who lived in Jerusalem, and he was going to take it to them. And he said, I want you to pray that that gift will be received, accepted by those folks as I deliver it to them in Jerusalem. And then he said, pray that God would bring me to you in his will and that together we would be refreshed. And as I said on Wednesday night, that's what I hope. I hope this is a time for our missionary guests and for our church, a time of refreshing, mutual refreshing. And I talked about that on Wednesday night. Now, Paul was a missionary preacher. That is, he was a man traveling from place to place, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then organizing the converts to Christ into a local assembly. That's what a church is, an assembly of born-again, baptized believers, organized for the work of God. And that's what Paul did, organized the converts into a church. Now, the men featured in our missions conference this year, the four on the side walls here, and the two behind me on the wall behind me, and Brother Nibby, who's a veteran missionary. These men are God-called missionaries. God-called missionaries. They would give that testimony. I believe that the Apostle Paul is a great example for them as they seek to fulfill the calling of a missionary. Pure Bible missions, we support some camps and colleges and works to different type people here in the States, and I'm all for that, and some people to help support those works. But pure Bible missions is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, leading people to the Lord, baptizing them in obedience to Christ, and then organizing them into a church. Bible missions is not teaching them how to grow corn. That's not nothing wrong with a missionary helping some families out. But if you go for the sole purpose of teaching them how to irrigate, you're missing your calling. Amen. It's to get the message of Christ out. There seems to be a couple of different ways to accomplish this. You have missionary men who go like Paul did, and they start a church and then they move on, and they start another church and then they move on, and that's how they develop their missionary ministry. It's from place to place to place, starting churches, organizing them. It takes time in each place, okay? And Paul took time at these churches and these cities to get these churches established. And then you have a man go to a place and he starts a church, and maybe it grows to the place where it can have a Bible institute or a college. And he begins to reach nationals with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he uses that college or institute to train them to go out and reach their own people. And that is something necessary for every missionary, because the day may come in many of these countries where Western missionaries are no longer allowed to serve. Now, you take Brian's been in Cluj, Romania for 11 years, but you'll see tonight that if he gets put out of that country tomorrow, that thing will continue. There's a church there established with a Romanian national assistant pastor who can take it in Brian's absence or in Brian's when he's not there at all and continue that work. I think of Rick Martin over in the Philippines. He's followed that format in Iloilo City, and we've been privileged to support him for years and years and years. 729 churches have been started out of Iloilo Baptist Church, or churches that have been started by Iloilo Baptist. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? 265 of those churches that were started out of Iloilo Baptist have Bible colleges or Bible institutes that are right now at this hour training 917 Filipino men for the ministry. Isn't that a blessing? And now they're actually leaving the Philippine Islands and going to other places in the world like missionaries from the States would. It's an incredible work what God is doing over there. Now, unfortunately, there are some here in the States who would argue and debate that one of these ways is more right than the other. I think that's a waste of time and energy. I think the greater matter to be concerned with here at Faith Baptist Church is that we remain true and faithful to the theme of this year's conference, the message of Christ, the mission of our church. The mission of our church is not to build buildings. We built this one. It's beautiful. I love it. I love to preach in it. I don't have any other place in America where I'd rather preach than in this pulpit right here. I love this pulpit that Brother Julio built for us. We're going to build another building across the parking lot, and we need it. But that's not our mission, friend. Our mission is not accomplished when that building across the parking lot is complete. We don't show, look what we've done. We've accomplished our mission. Look at our facilities. They are useful and functional, and now we're finished. Far from it, friend. Our mission does not end with the completion of these buildings. It has nothing to do with these buildings, actually. What is the scope of our mission? When is it considered accomplished? Well, look what Paul said in verse number 20. Look at what he said there. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. In other words, Paul's driving desire, his goal, was to preach the gospel where the name of Jesus Christ had never been mentioned. Paul said, I don't want to go places where they've already heard. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He said, I want to go to some place where the people have never heard the name Jesus Christ. And friend, ladies and gentlemen, the church's mission, our church's mission, is not accomplished until every country, every city, every village, every tribe, every family, every individual has heard the name of Jesus Christ. Then and only then is our mission accomplished. You say, man, we're going to be busy for a long time until Jesus comes. Until He comes. And unfortunately, even in this day and age of modern means of communication, there are millions on earth today living in places where Christ has not been named. And that's our mission. The message of Christ, the mission of our church. I don't think I'll have time to finish this message this morning. I'll preach as long as time allows, and then I'll just cut it off. But look at the first point this morning. I want to talk about the church's corporate responsibility. The church's corporate responsibility. Look at Acts chapter 1, if you would, please. A scripture that Brother Smith used in the message last Sunday evening. He began his message with this text. Acts chapter 1, and look with me at verse number 6. Now, Jesus has died. He's been buried. He's already risen from the dead. He is just about ready to ascend to heaven. He takes his disciples and other followers out to the Mount of Olives, and he gives them his last words. On the way to the Mount of Olives, they asked him in verse number 6, look at it in verse number 6, When they therefore were come together out at the Mount of Olives, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Jesus, now that you've died, now that you've buried, now that your resurrection is past, are you ready to set up your kingdom? Is this the time you're going to do it? Jesus looked at them, verse number 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He said, fellas, that's not what your mission is. Your mission is not to be concerned with the kingdom. I'm very amused by all the kingdom building literature in the States today. Kingdom building. Kingdom. I get that stuff. Kingdom building. Preparing for the... And it's prevalent, it seems, amongst those who teach in the homeschool ranks. You folks better be careful. We're not... Did you see what they asked? Are you ready to set up your kingdom? And Jesus told them, hey, that's not what you're all about. New Testament church, that's not what you're all about. You're not about setting up a kingdom. What you're about is in verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That is the New Testament church's mission. Not building a kingdom, not ushering in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, folks. We've got a 7-year tribulation period that's going to happen between the rapture and the kingdom age. We can't usher in the kingdom. We have a mission. It does not involve ushering in the kingdom. It involves getting the message of Jesus Christ to the world. That's the mission of our church. I want you to look there at verse number 8. Look at it carefully. He said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The word is both. Not either. Jesus didn't say, okay, church fellas, listen, all you ladies and gentlemen, you take your pick. You can choose either to be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, all Judea, Samaria, or you can choose to be a witness in the uttermost parts of the earth. He does not use the word either. He uses the word both. Do you know what that means? That means that the church was to be a witness in Jerusalem. If I could let maybe this microphone pole here this morning represent Jerusalem. That's the geographical location of this church. Ben, come up here just a second, if you would, please, sir. Now let Ben kind of be the good-looking Ben, okay? We'll let the good-looking Ben come up here. I may use you in just a minute when I need a bad-looking Ben, okay? But the good-looking Ben here. This was the geographical location of this church, Jerusalem. Jesus said, church, you're to be a witness for me in Jerusalem. Then he said, all Judea. If we could let this microphone here represent all Judea. And then he said, you need to be a witness over here in Samaria. And then he said, you need to be a witness in the uttermost parts of the earth. And he didn't say, be a witness in Jerusalem until you think you've got it done. And then go over here and be a witness in all Judea until you think you've got that done. And then go over here and be a witness in Samaria until you get that done. And when you get that done, go over here and be a witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's not what that word both means. Come back there, Brother Ben. It's an enclitic particle. It means one and all at the same time. They were supposed to be a witness in Jerusalem and at the same time be a witness in all Judea. They were supposed to be a witness in Jerusalem, all Judea, and at the same time be a witness in Samaria. They were supposed to be a witness in Jerusalem, at the same time in Judea, at the same time in Samaria, at the same time to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the Bible teaching from that verse. You'd have to cut that verse with a penknife out of your Bible to deny what I just told you. That's the mission of the church. Take the message of Christ to the world. While you're witnessing in Jerusalem, somehow find a way to witness in all Judea. And while you're witnessing in Jerusalem and Judea, some way find a way to witness in Samaria. And while you're witnessing in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, some way find a way to witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's bring that down to Faith Baptist Church. Faith Baptist Church has a command to be a witness in Bourbonnais. That's our geographical location. Bradley, Kankakee, the Kankakee River Valley area. That's our mission. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to be a witness in all of Illinois and the other parts of the United States. At the same time, we have a responsibility to be a witness to the whole Western Hemisphere. North America, Central America, South America. That's our mission. That's our responsibility. Do you understand that? At the same time, we have a responsibility to get the gospel to the world, the Eastern Hemisphere, and all the islands and continents therein. That is our mission. Not one at a time, all at the same time. Can I tell you, there are still people in our Kankakee River Valley area who have not heard the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, they may have heard the name of Jesus, but they don't understand who He is. And they don't know why He died, why He was buried, and why He rose again. And they need to hear. There are still people in the United States of America who have not heard. There are still people in our hemisphere who have not heard. There are people in the world who have not heard the story of Christ, where Christ has not been named. So I ask you, church, is our mission accomplished? No. It's not accomplished. We work at it. And we must work at it. And it must maintain it must be the primary focus, and we must maintain that business all the time. We work at accomplishing the mission of reaching our area through the weekly soul winning opportunities and the radio broadcast and the nursing home services and other places where they get to preach the gospel. We in this area. And then we have I went through this list a little while ago. And if this represents the United States of America, there's a church in Missoula, Montana that we helped start. It's going this morning. They're meeting for services this morning. There's a church in Michigan that we helped start. There are two churches in Kentucky that we've helped start. Right now, we are currently helping people in there's a church in Metropolis, Illinois that we helped to begin. There is a church in Aurora, Illinois that's meeting that we're currently supporting right now. There's a church in Iowa that we are supporting right now. New churches in Nebraska, in Texas, two of them in Alaska, one in Minnesota, one in New Mexico, one in New York City. That's in our Judea, United States of America. At the same time, we have missionaries going to this Western Hemisphere. At the same time, we have four out of these six missionaries are going to places where we don't have any voice. We have no voice in Thailand. We have no voice in Madagascar. We have no voice in the Bahamas. We have no voice in Jamaica. And then we'd like to take on Brother Jim Blaylock's son, Rick Blaylock, who is in Peru. If God blesses us in our missions giving this year, we will expand the outreach of Faith Baptist Church to five more countries. You say, why do we need to do that? It's our mission.
Amen.
It's what God said to do. God said, take the gospel to every creature. Thank you, Ben. For sake of time, I was going to further the illustration, but I'm not going to do that right now. We have two or three missionaries in Australia already, but Brother Westbrook will be going to a place in Australia where we have no missionary. We have one missionary in India. Over 1 billion. What's the current population, Brother Radix? 1.8 billion. That's 1,800,000,000. We can't comprehend that. We have one missionary there. 1,800,000,000. And look at Native Indian. Going back to his home country. Now, as we support our missionaries and God prospers their work and honors His word and people get saved and churches get started, then those churches take on the same mission that our church has. Get out the message of Christ. Let me share this with you this morning. This will be a blessing to you. This is from our missionary in Kenya, Nakuru, Kenya, Brother Robert Mickey.
What a fine missionary. Been there for years. He met a pastor by the name of Isaac Ononi almost 2 years ago. Brother Ononi is from the Turkana tribe. He said it's a tribe that comes from northern Kenya that lives in very harsh and primitive conditions. The Kenyan government gave Pastor Ononi land, just gave it to him. The land was located 1 hour north of Nakuru, where Brother Mickey serves. When Brother Mickey met this man, he realized that even though he was a member of a Baptist church from up in the area of northern Kenya where he was from, he knew very little about the Bible. They began to study the Bible together, and come to find out, Pastor Ononi realized and admitted to Brother Mickey he had never been scripturally baptized. He followed the Lord in believer's baptism. He moved to that piece of property. Some people would consider it a very meaningless piece of property because it's dry and arid, not a very nice place to live. But they were thrilled to get it 1 hour from Brother Mickey's church in Nakuru. And Brother Ononi moved there and he started giving the gospel out. And he started getting folks started getting saved. They started getting baptized. And they started a little gathering of believers there under a tree. That's where they met. The hot sun beating down. And they met for church underneath that tree. Brother Mickey's church is the Rift Valley Baptist Church. That's his college. The church is the Grace Bible Baptist Church. The Grace Bible Baptist Church, the Kenyan people, raised enough money to help build Pastor Ononi a little pole building with a roof where he could meet and be protected from the hot sun with those precious Kenyan believers who were coming to Jesus Christ to be saved. He did not use American money. They used Kenyan money. They used the people who are very, very poor. And that's what I'm saying. That's how this thing multiplies. That's how this thing grows on us. We helped support Brother Mickey before he went to Kenya. And since he's been in Kenya. And now he's got a church the size of which is able to help support other works in Kenya. That's the mission of New Testament churches. Get the message of Christ out to every individual, to every tribe, every village, every city, every family, every town. That is the mission. That is the mission. I had breakfast this week on Thursday morning with missionary David Sloan. He's over in Ukraine. He works with the missionary we support, Matt Hudson. Matt Hudson's married to, his wife is Caleb Hanson. Let's see, no, his wife is Emily Hanson's sister, right? Yes, Catherine Hudson is Emily Hanson's sister over there in the Ukraine. Those missionaries have gotten together and they've had a camp for 2 years for teenagers. It meets for a week in August. Lord willing, good health and everything goes as planned. Luke and I will fly to the Ukraine in August, and I'll get to preach that teen camp. Monday night through Thursday night, I'll preach to about 130 Ukrainian teenagers. 65 of those 130 teenagers are called to preach. 5% of them come from Christian homes. Did you hear what I said? 5% come from Christian homes. But do you know why they have this camp? Do you know why the emphasis is what it is? Do you understand? They're on thin ice in the Ukraine. Western missionaries. There's going to come a day when they won't be allowed in the country. And they are focusing, that group of missionaries over there, brother, I'll be going to Russia and flying in and to Moscow and going to meet with Brother Oswardy and his family, and then we'll be traveling together to the Ukraine to have this camp. And those fellows are over there. They're working to get as many Ukrainian teenagers under the sound of the gospel, not just saved, but taught and trained. Now 65 of those young people surrendered to the full-time service of our God. And I told Brother David Sloan, I said, you guys are working towards the future. He said, that's it, Brother Angel. Our emphasis is for when we are gone, there will be Ukrainian men and women left behind to continue on the work of God there. It's exciting. It just pumps me. And I'm just giving you a few of the stories this morning. I wish I could read for you from Rick Martin's letter. The stories of those men starting churches. Where Christ has not been named. Do you understand? That's the mission of our church. A lot of missionary stories excite me. A lot of them enthuse me, but I don't know of anyone that excites me more than the story of Robert Moffat, a missionary to Africa. He was on furlough in England, and he was talking about his work on the Dark Continent. David Livingston, a young Scottish boy, was in that service. And Robert Moffat was describing the great need of the continent of Africa. And at the end of the message, he said these words, and I quote, "They have been in my heart, I'm telling you, they motivate me like nothing." He said, "There is a vast plain to the north where I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has been." Can you picture that? Can you picture looking out over a vast plain and little clouds of smoke? And Moffat said to Callum, "There would be 1,000 where the message of Christ has never been taken." Mission accomplished? Far from it. Far, far from it. Folks, our mission won't be accomplished until every person has heard the message of Jesus. I told a story on Wednesday night, and I'm done. I got another whole half of the message to go, but you might not come back if I do that, so I'll be done. John Getch was preaching out in Iowa some years ago. I told the story, tried to tell it by memory, read it one quick time, tried to tell it by memory because it just came to my mind Wednesday night. But I went back and reread it and got the facts straight exactly. It was almost like I told it, but not quite. John Getch was preaching out in Iowa, and he met a man by the name of Bill Maxwell. Bill Maxwell is what we would call a slightly mentally handicapped person, not terribly mentally handicapped to where he could not, you know, the mind of a 2-year-old or 3-year-old, but just slightly mentally handicapped. Through the conversations with Bill Maxwell the first couple of days of those revival meetings, Dr. Getch realized that Bill was already saved, but he didn't have a Bible. So he bought him a Bible. And instantly they became fast friends. If you know those kind of people, you know what I'm talking about. You give them anything, and buddy, they just latch on to you. Brother Getch bought him a Bible, and Bill Maxwell became his fast friend the rest of the week. And John Getch had told him to read the Bible, and every day he would say, "Billy, you reading your Bible?" "Yes, sir." "Billy, you reading your Bible?" "Yes, sir." The revival meeting ended. John Getch went back to his place of service, and he was in his office one morning. This is some weeks later. And the secretary buzzed him on the intercom, and he said, "Brother Getch, there's a man named Bill Maxwell on the phone for you." Brother Getch took the call. "Bill, how you doing? This is Brother Getch." "I'm doing fine, Brother Getch. How are you?" "I'm doing real good. What's up?" "Brother Getch, I was reading my Bible and I found this awesome verse. You need to see it." Brother Getch said, "Bill, I would be glad to see the verse. Tell me where to find it." Bill said, "Okay, Brother Getch, turn to John chapter 3. After a moment, John Getch said, "All right, Bill, I'm there. Which verse are you looking at?" And Bill said, "Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world." That he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great verse? Everybody ought to know that verse. I agree with Bill Maxwell. That's a great verse. And everybody ought to know it. Everybody in Thailand. 1.8 billion in India. In Australia. Jamaica. Madagascar. Bahamas. The world. Everybody ought to know that verse. I told you that I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm not. This is my last time to preach. I'm not going to beat you up for money. We just came through the building commitment. Now, Brother Vineyard, I can't tell what he may do. All right. How many of you? Now you can hear him now. Amen. If you haven't heard Brother Vineyard and you missed this conference without hearing him, you will be, of all men, most miserable. Amen. But church, you've been very faithful to support missionaries. I keep thinking, when I schedule these missions conferences, I keep thinking, okay, we've got to quit having new missionaries. We can't keep adding. And 16 families hit the 10-year mark this year. We raised them to 20. We raised their support $25 a month. 16 families. That's not new missionaries. That's ones we're already supporting. And every year I think I can't bring in new missionaries. Just can't. We've got to get some veterans in. But then I come across passages like this that sure ruined my plans. Not where Christ was named. Y'all understand that? That is our mission. To the world. Thank you. God bless you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Before we give the closing invitation, I want to ask this morning, I wonder if Christ has been named in your heart. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Who's here to say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt about it. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the room. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hand down. Now, would you be honest with me again? Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then. I don't know that I'm saved. I hear you talk about this matter of being saved, Jesus dying on the cross and all that, but I don't know where I would spend eternity. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'd love to pray for you. Would you please raise your hand right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Brother Angel, pray for me. Anybody like that from side to side? I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. See a small hand. Is there another? Not sure that I'm saved. Brother Angel, pray for me. I'm not talking about becoming a Baptist. I'm not talking about becoming a member of a church. I'm talking about spending eternity in heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? Be somebody here, Brother Angel. I've been saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Maybe you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Anybody like that in the service today? All right, dear people, if you're here, you know this is the place that God wants you to join. You've been coming and visiting, and you talk with myself and Brother Caleb about it. That's great. We'd love to have you come. Or maybe you're interested in joining. You come see Brother Caleb during the invitation. Just a moment. Faith Baptist Church, let me encourage you. Be praying now in these days. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Some of you have learned that blessed, blessed business of giving to Faith Promise Missions. You have the promise of God in Philippians 4:19 that whatever you give to missions, He will supply that back. As we supply the need of missionaries, whatever we give, God will supply that back to us. Four new families here this week. Two others we'd like to take on from last year's meetings. Throughout the year that came in since the missions conference. Our mission is not accomplished until every individual has heard John 3:16 or a similar verse. May God help us to do His will. Not where Christ was named. In places where there is no voice. Maybe you'd like to grace the altar this morning just for a moment, kneel and pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to do this year for missions? My dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. I ask, oh God, that you bless this meeting, this conference. Stir our hearts, but Lord, more than stir us emotionally, help us, Lord, to live by Bible principle and work in us. May we do your will, please, for missions this year. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come today? If you don't know that you're saved, I would invite you to come. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you come? Or maybe you need to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you come? Maybe God's working on your heart about this matter of missions. Would you come? God speaks to you.